Amen. As we continue in worship, let us listen to the scriptures as found from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading in the 6th chapter, verses 27 through 38. It says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much gain. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You'll pray with me. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We thank you for your word for today. Lord, it's a challenging word for us and one that we can't do by ourselves. But Lord, we need you to continue to inspire us, to work within us, to transform our lives, that we might be the people you would have us to be in love and grace to the world around us. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So also I want to be grateful for a number of folks who were able to come up this week and do some different work projects around the church, including repainting this kind of border of the step here. It looks really good. And they found this nifty little pulpit in the back and switched out my pulpit for me. And it's a nifty little pulpit. So I'm grateful for that as well. And did a lot of other projects around the church. And so thanks to all those who helped do that and make that happen this week. The flowers here in front of me symbolize or represent 58 years of Northwest Hills presence here in this area. And so thank you to Pat and Mary Frances Markley for placing those and for all those who have helped Northwest Hills be what it is and continue to be today. So 58-year anniversary of Northwest Hills United Methodist Church. So last week I talked about the sermon on the plain. It happened right before today's scripture that I read. Jesus came down from the mountainside and stood on the level plain with his disciples that he had just called and began teaching them what it meant to be a disciple and what God desired for their life and what it meant to be a blessing and to be blessed. The gospel lesson for this morning is a continuation of the sermon on the plain, and he again continued teaching his disciples. One of the first things he talked about was to love your enemies. This scripture this morning is another one of those, like last week he talked about, blessed are you who are poor, and blessed are you when people hate you and when you are hungry. And today Jesus is talking about like loving your enemies, and we just kind of stop and like, really? Like, repeat yourself, Jesus? Like, you want me to do what? It's one of the most difficult teachings in the scriptures. It's one that sets the Christian faith from other religious perspectives. And yet at the end of the day, this is something that defines who we are as Christians. Jesus teaches his closest followers to love your enemies. And for Jesus to say this in this period of time was kind of out of context, out of step with what people were being taught and the way in which people were to live. It wasn't normal for someone to show kindness or mercy. It was a weakness to do such. You were supposed to be strong and courageous and disciplined, and there was no kind of space for compassion and mercy and generosity. As a Roman philosopher said, mercy is a disease of the soul. It was kind of looked down upon, and it was reflected within the culture, for example, like towards slaves, like a slave that was grew old and tired was no longer of use, like, and they would kind of get rid of that slave as you would get rid of a broken hammer or a rusty plow. Or if a owner grew tired of someone, they could just send them to the arena to have a good conversation with the lion. Or if a woman gave birth to a daughter or a crippled son, well, the father might expose that infant to elements that could take the child's life. There was really nothing good for your enemies and nothing good to say to them. And the only good one was one that didn't exist. But Jesus' disciples were taught differently from the get-go. They were taught to behave in a way that may have been seen as imprudent by many, by sowing generosity where nothing was expected to grow. That doesn't seem very smart, but that was the way of Jesus. And in spite of how it sounds, we know these words are a reminder that much of the gospel is hard teaching. The idea of forgiveness is both radical and powerful. But it runs against our thinking, it runs against our inclinations, it runs against our desires, and it runs against our will. But maybe that's why Jesus repeated it so often. So that the hearer had no opportunity to miss the point. These words are repeated over and over again, and especially here in the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about why Jesus came and his purpose and our call and how to treat others. Over and over again, Jesus repeats these words. As we read through this scripture, you know, we might be thinking to ourselves, this way of Jesus actually, like, encourages a passive response or to violence and evil. Like how is it going to move us forward if someone strikes us on one cheek and we just say, strike me on the other also, or if anyone takes away our coat, here's my shirt. How does that move us forward when someone doesn't understand that their actions are wrong? Then how does turning the other cheek justify or say it's okay? And it says it's even okay. But friends, does loving our enemies mean that we can never confront them about what made us enemies in the first place, or the injustice that was done? Does it mean we are to just kind of grit our teeth and do nothing or say nothing? Of course not. If we do nothing, then we're certainly not very loving, and we're not looking out for someone's greatest and highest and best self. If we let our friends or family continue to hurt themselves and others, then we're not desiring the best for that person. And the call of Luke is to live in a way contrary to our human nature. Responding in love is desiring the best for every single person. Not only your friends and your family, but even your enemies. And so if we read this scripture out of the context that was shared last week, and we look at these words a little differently, they make a little bit more sense. When Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, or blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. You see that the knowledge that yours is the kingdom of God transforms disciples' actions from this sense of compliance or passive response to what it means to resist evil that has the power to transform the world. Jesus gives his listeners new eyes to view the world. And that's what marks the redeemed heart. So besides watching probably an overabundance of sports, and sometimes I'll watch the nightly news for a little while, and then I also watch Wheel of Fortune, and I usually solve the puzzles faster than the contestants. And I'm really not that into Ryan Seacrest compared to Pat Sajak, but that's neither here nor there. But one of the other things I enjoy watching is this show called What Would You Do? What Would You Do? And this guy, John Quiñones, kind of goes into different places, public spaces, and environments, and creates scenarios of different situations. And they have actors who kind of act out the situation in front of a number of just regular old people, like if you're at lunch today, for say. And does anyone else watch this show? Okay, a couple people. And so they have these actors, and they create these scenarios, and they often look to see how people will respond to these different scenarios. Will they take action? Will they speak up? Will they, what will they do for someone who's oppressed or poor or injustice of the scene? You know, people used to wear those bracelets like, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Everyone used to have those almost like the Livestrong bracelet, right? We used to wear these different bracelets. They were like a fashion statement at a time. But WWJD, like, what would Jesus do? Like, we know what Jesus would do. Like, we have it in the scriptures over and over again. Jesus tells us what he would do to a situation. But this show is kind of like, well, what would you do? What would you do in a particular situation? How would you respond if you saw someone who was experiencing homelessness being mistreated in a restaurant? How would you respond if you heard a mom treating the foster child who they were receiving income from differently than they treated their biological child? Or how would you speak up if you saw someone meanly speaking to employees of a restaurant or an establishment? What would you do? Would you continue to eat your enchiladas? Or would you say something, or would you speak up? Because as Christians, what makes us different than anyone else? We don't act a little differently if we don't show the compassion that Jesus shared with us and was an example to others. How will we respond in love and grace to those who are being oppressed? How will we show love for hate? The people were used to trading gifts with one another and expecting something in return. Like, I give you something, you give me something. That was kind of the norm of the society. And Jesus said, well, everyone does that. How do you, instead turning up things upside down, how do you give without waiting for something to be given to you? Knowing that yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is the abundant blessings that God has prepared that nothing that we do could ever repay or pay for. There's a story that one day there was a beggar by the side of the road asking for alms, and Alexander the Great was passing by, and Alexander threw the man several gold coins, and an attendant who saw Alexander do this turned to Alexander and said, "Your Highness, copper coins would have been fine for this beggar. Why did you give him gold?" And Alexander responded in royal fashion and said, "Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving." Alexander's generosity. As I was on my way here this morning, I was listening to a podcast. It was actually the Minimalist podcast. They were saying how generosity of love says more about the giver than about the one who receives. It's a way of the heart. They said, give a little until you can give a lot. Being poor doesn't make one selfish any more than being a millionaire makes one generous. He said, there are poor people who are generous, and there are selfish people who are wealthy. But it's about how we understand giving and receiving. It's how we understand our relationship to Christ, not dependent on what others are doing. We know the heart of Jesus. We know that we are called to serve and to love. Generosity is a mark of a redeemed heart. We are called to live in a way that shares unconditional love, just exactly the way that Jesus showed us. So the call of the scripture today is to live in a way contrary to our human nature. Maybe it is knee-jerk that when someone hits us that we quickly hit back. Or we respond in ways before we speak or before we think to speak. But what God is calling us through this scripture is to think differently. A way that's possible only from a power from above. A grace greater than our sin, our best intentions, and even our hard work. And when disciples understand that and come to live that out as Jesus showed us, we experience God's abundant grace to which we belong and that belongs to us. That turning the other cheek or loving our enemy becomes not just a passive response, but an active resistance to evil that has the power to transform others and the world around us. I think the world now is in desperate need of the church to be the church. Like, the church is more relevant now for what we need in the world than before, and that we need to be the people who God calls us to be for such a time as this. May we be people who respond with compassion, love, and mercy to those around us. Let us pray. Gracious and glorious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for the opportunity to gather this morning in this space and to be reminded of our call as your disciples and the call of the church, how it responds to the needs of the world. God, may our eyes be opened, our hands be ready, and our hearts desire to respond as you would have us respond as we grow closer to you each and every day. God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.